Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, it's Vaught Harris here on the Panther Rants podcast. It's Wednesday before, obviously, Thanksgiving. I'm sure a lot of you guys are already on vacation. Or if you're working, you're probably on vacation mentally because this is the last day. I got 4 hours and I'm done. So I'm not going to complain. I just hope people around me aren't, not pressing to have shit done today because I got, things I got to do. I'm sure a lot of you are still basking in the whole ACC Coastal Division Champion thing. Hell, I still am. I've had my, throughout this last part of the season, I've had my criticisms over the Coastal Division, but I never thought Pitt would be here, ever get here. I don't think a lot of us did, but they're here, so I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this. The fact that my team is playing for a conference title. And it's an awesome feeling. A great freaking feeling to have. And I know you guys love it too. We all do. Some tidbits from after the game. Of course... Pitt flipped the verbal commit. I guess that, I don't have the information from me, but he was a Middle Tennessee State commit and he flipped the Pitt. I know the kid was committed to Conference USA, but staff likes him for some reason, so I'll just leave it at that. We had an unfortunate loss after the game. Our center, Morrissey, is out for the season as he had an ankle injury. And it happened during the Wake Forest game where we did that whole Brian O'Neill throw to the lineman. And in typical Pitt fashion, sometimes we can never have nice things, we end up injuring our starting center. And yeah, it was a freak injury. It could have happened in any play. I'm kind of disenchanted that it happened during that play. And it was a cute play. I was like, oh, look at that. We're doing this again. And then all of a sudden, you see your lineman walk off the field being helped off. And then you see the replay, and of course, he dives for the end zone, and he takes out his own player's legs. And, if you look at that offensive line, they've worked so well together as a unit. I mean, they played really well as a unit. And I know we like to say next man up, but let's hope so. Because we don't want this to come bite us in the ass, especially against Miami this week. Miami is obvious, Miami's 6-5. They've just beat Virginia Tech 30-14, and Miami's just had a hell of a down year. Well, they haven't really been the same since they lost to Pitt last year. Teams have found ways to expose them. But defensively, this is still a good Miami team. They're in the top five in total defense, as I looked. Pass defense, they're really good. Running defense, they're about, you know, around the top 50. They're around 50. So Pitt may be able to run the ball against them. Special teams, they're pretty dangerous there, too, I noticed. They have a pretty dangerous punt returner. So this game isn't going to be a gimme for Pitt. They're going to have to actually work. I like to see them win this game, but anything, I think they will. What's been Miami's Achilles heel this year has been their offense. They're ranked 91st in total offense. And like I said earlier in the year, they were only going to be as good as what their offense allows them to be, especially their quarterback. And they've had pretty much a juggling of the order of quarterbacks. Nothing seems to be working for them, and well, there you go. But if Pitt, does what they did last week, even the Miami game last year, doesn't make mistakes, executes, plays good defense, they'll be fine. They'll win. Either way, we're still playing for an ACC title. And if we're having issues, and if we're breaking another lineman, then, let's use this game to tweak that. Tweak whatever we need to for Clemson, and we're good. I mean, it's that simple, right, guys? Well, it's never easy for us. Of course, I'm feeling a little bit negative now about this Miami game. Especially after the injury to our center, but we were a horrible team last year, and we still beat Miami, so anything's possible. I'm sure Miami's not going to take us lightly this time, but I did watch some of Miami's film. Like I said, they're fast. They're pretty athletic, obviously, because they're Miami. They're always going to be that because they have really good athletes. It's just that they suck on offense. And I realize how bad Virginia Tech is on defense. I mean, there were a lot of plays where Miami broke against Tech, and it was just like bad tackling. And of course, Tech's pass, defense isn't that good either. So Miami did pretty well with that. But I think for Tech, offensively Tech will be good next year. I just think on defense for them, they may need to change the scenery with who they have. And maybe give Bud Foster, change the scenery as well. But anyways, if Pitt wins this game, it's gonna be pretty much similar to last year. Low scoring, they probably went by. They probably went by 7 or 10 points. But Pitt did release their live wire of the field pass for the Wake Forest game, and I recommend watching that because it's kind of cool. And obviously you guys got to see the celebrations where Dan Marino's in the background and how they're like. And you got to see the trophy presentation, which is cool. So, Pitt's football program doesn't really add a lot of trophies these days. So, this is something new we cherish, regardless if it's a division title or not. This group, they accomplished something. They went out and they won the division. and they have an opportunity to add more to their trophy case. And I mean, sure, as a, I mean, we've had players add trophies to the case. I mean, but I mean, you know, Aaron Donald added a whole bunch to 1 year. And but, you know, this is one of these opportunities where, as a team, they were actually able to add some to their trophy case. I mean, sure, there's the whatchamacallit.com bowl games, but hey, but this came from our conference, so I love it. I mean, if we're going to, you know, honor, you know, Pip Hoops being Big Ten, you know, not Big Ten, Big East West Hoops champs, and hey, let's honor this. It's a big deal. Speaking of hoops, pick up Duquesne coming up, and I guess Duquesne gave Notre Dame some trouble. And a lot of people think that Pope's could lose this game, and yeah, Duquesne's going to give them some trouble. Obviously, they are. But again, that was supposed to be the case last year, and what happened? Pitt won. And it did with a pretty much shitty roster and a shitty coach. So I wouldn't quite totally rule out Pitt Hoops in this one. I mean, Duquesne had some sexy victories last year, or had a sexy start, but then they faded down this stretch because there was so much hype with them, and then all of a sudden they were the Duquesne that we all know and love for so long. But you know, they have a really good coach, and I think he's going to right the ship this time. And of course, Duquesne's obviously doing their part as well. They're finally going to upgrade the Palumbo, which is pretty long overdue. And yeah, they got to put. I mean, that's the thing with Duquesne is they haven't had really stable leadership ever. They're always cycling through ADs and basketball coaches. I mean, they fired Ron Everhart after the guy took him to another winning season. And I guess the argument there was they didn't think they would ever win with Everhart. Well, they were with a victory going to the tournament in 2008-2009. So I don't really understand why they didn't think that. And then, you know, when they got rid of Everhart, the wheels just fell off, and that was it. And speaking of other hoops things, TCU lost to Lipscomb last night. As you know, TCU lost a bye game, the epitome of brutality. And you know, Lipscomb obviously won their division last year, and they'll probably win it this year. But that's how Jamie, you know, manipulates the RPI. When he schedules major teams, he usually schedules ones that will, A, are really competitive in their conference, which means they win games, or they win their division, or conference, I should say. That's the way Jamie's always done it, and that's how, you know, he always makes a dance every year. Even though it looks like Pitt's going to be more of a bubble team, based on record, usually the schedule has always saved him. But to Jamie's credit, he has a top 10 class coming in next year. So I don't think he's hurting too bad. And not to mention he had two of his, you know, key players out for a while. They were back in the lineup last night. So obviously he's gonna take one on the chin, and he did there. But I think he'll be fine. So I'm not really worried about him too much. There we have it. Now we'll look at the rest of the games for this week coming up. I'm sure you guys are all excited about all this because we got the NFL as always, we got college. So I'm sure you guys will be loading up on food this weekend. And, you know, there's a shortage of, of romaine lettuce due to E. coli. And you know what? I don't know. Does anybody really eat salad on Thanksgiving? That's a question I should ask some of you guys. Does anybody really do that on Thanksgiving? Ever? Because, you know, all the years I've had Thanksgiving, I don't think I've ever seen anybody, a family member, eat a salad before their meal. I mean, maybe my sister did at one time. But yeah, the occasional female will eat salad before her, for her meal, but, you know, because, you know, females love, you know, love salad, they gotta lose weight. But I don't think I've seen anybody eat salad before, you know, their Thanksgiving meal. It's always been, you wake up, your food's ready, and like, well, it depends on what time your family eats. You know, growing up, I think we always ate early. I mean, it was like around noon or 1 o'clock. We always ate, and I remember I never really ate breakfast because I knew that the turkey was coming soon, and what was the point of eating breakfast when pretty much I'm going to eat all that crap all day? You know, I was going to load up on turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie. All that crap. And for me, I always love the stuffing. I mean, the stuffing is just, it's fantastic. Cornbread dressing is really good too as well. I never really ate that until I got the, you know, until I moved to the South. But you put some gravy on that, that's freaking fabulous. And of course, you got the ham too, and you know, you gotta go with the spiral cut. I just remember when Honey Bake opened up at Century Tree Mall, and my family got the first spiral ham we ever had. I think we ended up getting two hams. We got one ham, I remember, to try it. And I remember we almost ate the whole damn thing. And we had to go out and buy another ham because, well, that ham, we destroyed it. It wasn't even Thanksgiving yet. It was maybe like a day or two, and we ate the hell out of that. And I remember, you know, and I think, you know, we had to go get out and get another one. You can't go wrong with that. I mean, you can buy, you know, different, I mean, there's other types of spiral hams, but Honey Bake just hits out the park. And of course, there's other things you can do with it. I mean, if you buy it at the store, you can throw it in the smoker. And of course, glaze it with brown sugar and pineapples. I've done that before. Just throw in the smoker for a little bit. So, you know, the wood chips and all that absorb into it. And then, of course, you put the pineapple, brown sugar, anything else you want to throw in that you want to glaze it with, and throw in the oven for a little bit more. And I'm hungry now, just talking about all this. But we have a nice college football weekend starting off. We got Oklahoma and West Virginia playing. This game has big implications because, well, the winner of this game is going to play for the Big 12 title, which, you know, you'll need 12 teams now to have a conference title. So thank God that, you know, this rule was passed after, you know, the ACC expanded, because if that was the case, well, really wouldn't matter anyway, because they already had 12 teams. I don't know why I was thinking about that just now. But thank God the ACC took us. But, I mean, we were a finalist for the Big 12 as well. And I think, you know, we could have went to the Big 12 if we wanted to. But, because at that point, that was our only option. Because they wanted us. And ACC came around the corner and said, hey, you want to come join us? And, hey, I would love to. You've been in the Big 12, but I think the ACC just made a lot more sense for Pitt than that. Big 12 is somewhere you go if you didn't have any options, and Pitt didn't have them at the time. And, of course, Pitt did want to take West Virginia with them, and West Virginia, of course, was holding out for the SEC, and, well, SEC went another direction, and then West Virginia, you know, and then Pitt, you know, went to the ACC, and, well, they were out of luck, and, of course, you know, they had to use, you know, they had to get the government involved to get their invite to the Big 12. Good for them. But West Virginia lost a heartbreaker last week to Oklahoma State. They go to Oklahoma this week, and of course, this will be another high-scoring game. Oklahoma has some good team, good players, but good team as well. But defensively, I don't think they're any better. In the Big 12, they just don't play defense. So this is going to be a high-scoring game. This is going to be going on to whoever has the ball last, and that's at Morgantown. So this works out for West Virginia. Washington State should be a really good game. They're both ranked. Washington State is battling for a college football playoff spot, which they probably won't get because, you know, the pollsters are keep ranking the crappy teams ahead of them. No matter how bad they are, no matter how overrated they are. I mean, LSU should be ranked ahead of them. They suck, and same with Ohio State, but they're two big names, and of course, that's why they're on there. That's the thing. A lot of these pollsters, they really don't. I don't think they love them even watch college football in general. I'm sure they can't watch all the games. They just know, oh, you know, LSU has 8 wins. Let's rank them ahead. But speaking of Ohio State, they got Michigan this weekend, and I'm looking forward to that game. Urban obviously escaped Latin this past week against Maryland, but he's got Harbaugh this weekend. I think Michigan wins, and I think they're going to, and when they do, I think Harbaugh is going to pour it on, because Harbaugh is petty like that, and he's an asshole like that. You know, he did, I mean, against Penn State, he poured it on, and there's no doubt he's going to do this against, Ohio State as well. He's a portal on. So, hopefully, Urban has his team ready to play, because I don't think Harbaugh is going to let up at all in this game, even if it gets bad. He's going to run up the score, because Michigan really hasn't beaten Ohio State in, I don't think, forever. I think, I guess, Hoke was their, coach when that happened, and I think Luke Fickell was the head coach, and they almost lost that game as well. I think it's the last time they actually beat Ohio State was then. It's been a long time, I know that. But I mean, for Ohio State's credit, it's at their place, so no worries there for them. But yeah, a lot of rivalry games here this weekend. Central Florida and South Florida will square off, and I wouldn't take South Florida too lightly. They almost beat Central Florida last year. Syracuse and Boston College, an old school matchup. Boston College lost a heartbreaker to Florida State, and I'm not sure how healthy Dungy is, but I think Boston College pulls this one off. Alabama and Auburn, Bama should win that one. Auburn's just been a horrible, you know, it's been horrible. Maryland and Penn State, an awesome rivalry game here. Two big Northeast rivals squaring off again. Maryland obviously is battling for a bowl game, so this game is very important to them. I wouldn't totally rule on Maryland against Penn State because Matt Cannon's the coach, and he knows how to. He's faced James Franklin before, and he knows how to beat this defense. And I'm sure a lot of the stuff you saw last week against Ohio State, he's going to do this week against Penn State. And Penn State's offense has been kind of struggling because mainly because their receivers just can't get open, and that's about it. And they, they beat Rutgers barely. Either that, unless Franklin held back, so for the Maryland game. Who knows? All I know is, I guess the press conference there, he was asked about the USC job. And, I mean, Clay Helton hasn't even been officially fired yet. And they're already asking about the job. I don't see Franklin going anywhere, to be honest with you. People think he's going to bolt. I don't believe he's gone until he's actually on a plane and out of state college. But the thing is, if USC offers him the job and he accepts it, Penn State fight for Franklin? Do they just let him go? I mean, the guy just signed an extension, I believe. So they can't really give him another one. I mean, you don't want to give him another one after a team really didn't win their division and underachieved for the most part. Not to mention they had a kid who was a QB that was who had a ton of preseason Heisman hype. I mean, the guy, he was McSorley had a ton of hype this year for the Heisman. And we all saw what happened there. He wasn't really all that good this year. So there's that. So, I don't really see Franklin going anywhere. And if he does leave, I don't see Penn State fighting for him. The only thing Penn State could do is offer him more money for his assistants. I'm sure they already did that last year. Or, better facility improvements. But Penn State's so loaded with their facilities that I don't know what else they could give him. I mean, but he has to be offered the job first, and he has to accept it. So let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Louisville, Kentucky, and boy, these two get really ahead of themselves. I mean, as far as these two go, usually this game's played early in the year, but now it's later in the year, and you know what? It's hilarious because you got Kentucky, who's a 15th ranked, and Louisville's pretty much in a dumpster. And usually when we see this game, it's always Kentucky's in a dumpster, and Louisville are getting all the riches. Now, not so much. LSU and Texas A&M, that's not really a rivalry game, but I think LSU will win that one. Texas A&M is just, they're good, but they're not there. They're not quite there yet under Jimbo. But that pretty much wraps up the weekend as far as, top 25 is concerned. Now, around the ACC, we got Virginia Tech, and we talked about this game earlier this week because Virginia Tech said that they would like to make up the Marshall game if they beat Virginia. And all I can say is go Hoos, because why does this matter so much? I mean, obviously, maybe it means more to their seniors, but I just think it's pointless to demand a bowl game. Because all of a sudden you may be 5-6. And of course we got the annual Georgia Tech rivalry coming up. Georgia should win this one, but never roll out Paul Johnson in this rivalry. Georgia hasn't really been playing all that great this year. It's like they kind of slip-walked through this year, and Paul Johnson may catch these guys sleeping. So I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't totally roll up my list one. Florida, Florida State plays, and the Gators should hammer the Seminoles. No problems there. NC State, North Carolina. NC State's had their struggles of late, but I think they get out of their funk. I mean, they got out of it last week. So, I think they take care of that game as well. Wake and Duke. Wake needs us to make a bowl game, but I think Duke... I think Duke will win this one with no problem. South Carolina, Clemson. Clemson will pretty much take care of that game. So there you go, guys. We wrapped up that weekend. Closing out, guys, have a great Thanksgiving. One thing I would like to say, though, is, you know, the Steelers struggled, I guess, last week against Jacksonville. And, of course, Akeem Owen, I guess, you know, Ben wasn't all that sharp. But a key moment came where James Conner, I guess, dropped the pass. And the media has been obviously soaking in this for some reason because they love the drama with, you know, Le'Veon Bell. And they said this was a time that, you know, that the Steelers, you know, really miss Bell. And, you know, they need Bell. Well, Bell is gone and he's not coming back. What's done is done and they have what they have. If I'm sure the Steelers really had need for Bell, they would have given him the money that he felt he deserved. But my thing is, the local media is, if they're having so much remorse over this, why didn't they lobby for Bell to get his money? I mean, shouldn't have had it happen. I mean, if you really wanted this guy here, maybe you guys should have lobbied for him. You know, wrote some columns and said give him his due. But we all know why they wouldn't do such a thing. Because, you know, they may write, you know, if one of them writes a column like that, I mean, there's some columnists that don't, or sports people that aren't afraid to, you know, voice these things. But for some, they know if they voice them, they know that the next day they'll be told that, hey, you know, we made some changes, and you're going to be covering the Pirates or the Penguins from now on. And that's all that is. They're afraid the Steelers are going to be mad at them all of a sudden and not let them cover, not give them that interview or whatever they want. So it's whatever. Anyways, guys, that's all I'm going to leave with. I'm going to close on that. Have a Thanksgiving, good Thanksgiving, happy one at that, and enjoy the time off.